Have your scriptures with you this morning. Please turn to the gospel according to Luke. We're in Luke 12 this morning, looking at verses 22 to 34. If you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you or near you, page 871. Let me pray, and then we'll begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truths that we were able to sing, truths we were able to read from your word, and truths now we'll hear from your word preached. As always, Lord, I pray that your people would hear your voice, that it would cut through to the very soul, to the core of their being, that you would feed your people, that you would renew your people, that you would awaken your people. The Lord, that you would fill them with your peace, with your conviction, with your promises, with your love. That this morning, Lord, as we look into your word, it would have we would know that it's true truth and the truth we need to hear. So Lord, as we begin to think about anxiety, as we begin to think about worry, Lord, speak to our hearts that we'd be so rooted in you that our faith would be strong. And Lord, we praise you that when it's not, you don't let go. But Lord, help us in this area of anxiety and worry, and that we could treasure and worship the King. And so, Lord, we pray that you'd speak to us through your word, in Jesus' name. Amen. So this morning we're on the heels of Jesus' warning from last week to the disciples about covetousness, if you recall from last week. He shared that parable about a man who lived in a land of plenty. He had huge barns and storehouses where he would store everything, but yet he had the opportunity to increase what he had. So instead of just sharing and give it out of the abundance of what he had, he tears down those barns, raises bigger storehouses, and Jesus says, "You fool, on this night your soul is required of you." And so Jesus was challenging the disciples, he was challenging us that we ought to be rich not towards ourselves, but towards the things of God, about getting our loves of our lives properly ordered. And so this is where it picks up in Luke 12, verse 22, after talking about these things. In verse 22, Jesus said to his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, nor about your body or what you'll put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, and which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you're to drink, nor be worried. All the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom. These things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This ends the reading of God's holy, inerrant word. He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says this morning. Anxiousness and worry. If we're to say anything about what people have in common, it would be these two things at least. We all wrestle with anxiousness and worry in some form or fashion. Now, there's nothing wrong with being concerned about someone, something, or a situation. The problem is when we get overly concerned and anxious, and worry rolls our thoughts, anxiousness rolls our days. It reminded me of the story I came across of a gentleman named Ralph. Ralph was head over heels in trouble, but he was doing little to help himself or to move forward. A friend advised Ralph, "You got two hands, why don't you try and do something about it?" And Ralph said, "I am. I'm wringing both of my hands with worry all day." Worry, anxiousness, this overly uneasiness about possible danger or misfortune. Being overly concerned, being hyper-concerned, if you will. Again, it's good to be concerned. That means you care. But Jesus doesn't want you to be rolled by it or paralyzed by it. We worry or concern ourselves about relationship issues, with financial issues, with health issues, with simple things of maintenance in a house or on a car or various dangers in our lives, for our children, for grandchildren. We can worry. The command in Scripture of do not fear, don't be afraid in some sort of fashion, it's recorded in Scripture at least over 300 times. Some say 365 days, 365, one for each day. I'm not sure of the accuracy of that, but to know that it's recorded over 300 times gives us a clue that we all struggle with anxiety and worry and fear to some level where God must remind us, like little sheep, don't be afraid. Don't be anxious. Don't let your hearts be troubled. At the end of our passage today, in verse 34, Jesus says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So I ask myself, and I'm asking you, when we're anxious, when we worry, what are we treasuring? When we get overly concerned, when we get anxious and worry, and it rolls our days, our thoughts, our emotions, and we become paralyzed from doing things, what are we treasuring? I believe one of the answers is control. We turn from placing our faith in the sovereign Lord, and we turn from trusting the wisdom of God. We turn from trusting the one who will work all things together for good to those who love him. We turn from trusting him to desiring control for ourselves. Or we just don't believe that God will do what's best according to his mysterious plans. So as we think about overcoming worry and overcoming anxiousness, I want you to consider this thought that you can overcome these things by treasuring Christ above all. When worry and anxiousness creep in, you can stay focused on treasuring Christ, meditating on his wisdom, his sovereignty, his goodness, his sacrificial love, his promise to work all things together for good, to believe him, to trust him, to treasure him, to go from worry to worship. To go from worry to worship. And so in our text this morning, the first thing we see is Jesus says, remember the birds and the lilies. Jesus says, I love you more than these things. In verse 22, Jesus says, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, nor about your body, or what you'll put on, for life is more than food, and body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap, nor have storehouses or barns, and God feeds them. How much more value are you than the birds? And in verse 27, consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, and which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? Now this is not a call to be lazy as we trust in Christ. It's not just to sit around thinking food and clothing just fall from the sky if we trust Jesus, but again, it's the prioritizing of our loves. A desire for food and clothing is good, it's natural, but these things must not rule you. They must not rule your lives. The stuff of this world must not rule your agenda. You're weak. When you consider your thoughts, your worries, and your agenda, what's ruling them? Jesus is reminding us life is so much more than food, it's so much more than clothing, it's so much more than the stuff around us. And Jesus gives us the two illustrations from nature to help us to remember how he values us, how he loves us. He said, consider the ravens. They're a little bit bigger than a crow, they're scavengers. They don't have a refrigerator, they don't have a freezer. They don't have a storehouse. Each day they wake up and they find what they need. Maybe consider taking up bird watching. As you watch the birds and pick up the worms from the ground. And again, they don't have fridges. They don't have refrigerators. They don't have bank accounts. They don't have any of those things. And yet the birds sing. They sing. They'll wake up the next day and go find what they need. Jesus says, remember the birds. I love you more than the birds. And he also says, consider the lilies. The last 5 years or so, probably more, if time flies, Vanessa and I make our way down to Phipps Conservatory. And as I get older, I guess, you know, as a kid, I probably didn't care, but you go through there and you just stare at the flowers and the variety of beauty and the detail and the design. It blows you away just for a flower. And flowers only last a little short while. They're here for a little while and then they're gone. But God puts tremendous effort in displaying his glory through those flowers. And he'll do the same through you. You're more precious than the flowers. But remember the flowers. Remember the birds. When anxiousness and worry arise, and remember that your Savior loves you more than those. Jesus says, remember, if I do that for the flowers, think how I will work in your life. He says, I love you. I went to a cross to redeem you, to restore you, to make you a new creation. You will conquer through death. You will be glorified. And when you struggle with anxiousness and worry, maybe pick up some flowers, look at the birds, and know Jesus loves you immensely more than these things. The next thing he says to us, that remember that being anxious doesn't add to your life. Being anxious and worrying does not add to your life, but it takes away. He says in verse 25, which of you being anxious can add a single hour to your life? If you're not able to do such a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Worrying about life being tossed by the waves of the emotions of being overly concerned about things does not benefit you. It does nothing to help you. It falsely gives you some twisted view that your worrying is helping the situation. It gives you some false notion of control, or at least that you're doing something helpful. But when you realize that you're powerless over the situation, and if you're not trusting your life to Christ and his ways, it will just create despair, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Philip Ryken, he says, worry is a thief. It steals our time. Our thoughts turn to our troubles, and then rather than praying about them or doing the things God is calling us to do, we waste time worrying about them. Worry steals our rest. We lie awake at night, anxious about tomorrow, and when we get up too tired to work hard, and this only adds to our anxiety. Worry steals our health as we suffer the physical effects of our anxiety. Worry steals our obedience as it tempts us to other sins like irritability, addiction, and laziness, or on the other hand, overwork. Worry steals our hope as we fear the worst about the future. Jesus says, remember, being anxious doesn't add to your life. It just takes away. Reminds me of the exasperated husband who asked his wife, he says, why are you always worrying when it doesn't do any good? And she quickly piped back, oh yes, it does. 99% of the things I worry about never happen. When we worry, when we're anxious, we usually think of the worst case scenario. We become false prophets to ourselves. And often the situation or thing we worried about never comes close to being as awful as we thought it would be. Yet we'll go on worrying about the next thing, thinking that it's helpful. Reminds me of what a gentleman wrote. He says, worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. And what about death? What if it does become the worst case scenario? When we worry about someone who may die or ourselves dying, there will be a day when Jesus calls us home. And for the Christian, that's a day of glory. Not fear, but entering into supreme peace, being alive more than we ever have been. The martyrs knew this well, as they wouldn't be delivered from the wicked rulers who would put them to death, who would crucify them, who would feed them to the lions. But they would go without fear, knowing they belonged to the resurrected Christ. The resurrection of Christ removes the sting of death, and we can say with Paul, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Paul, who would be martyred for Christ, and he was anxious to be with Christ. He wasn't anxious about death. He was in a hurry to see Jesus. That's what living in faith of the resurrected Lord can do. And we have to ask ourselves, do we have it? Have we trusted him as Savior and Lord? Have we remembered that he's the resurrected Lord who's conquered the grave? Remember, being anxious doesn't add to your life. It just takes from it. And so he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and watch how he leads you. In verse 29, do not seek what you're to eat, what you're to drink, nor be worried, for all the nations seek after these things, and your Father knows you need them. In verse 31, instead, seek his kingdom. These things will be added to you. I wanted to give you some verses to meditate on, to believe in, to chew on. Many of you know these passages, but perhaps it's been a while since you soaked them in. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he'll make your path straight. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Psalm 23 is usually read at funerals, but it's a psalm about living. It's a psalm about living all of life, trusting Jesus, who is the good shepherd, seeking his leading first in our lives, knowing he loves us, knowing he will care for us, that he'll walk us through the darkest of valleys, even death itself, and bring us all the way to glory. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, I shall not lack. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. You are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isaiah 41:10, fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. On Seeking the Kingdom of God, R.C. Sproul writes, living the Christian life means focusing on the Word of God to such an extent that we become more and more conscious of the presence of Christ with us. Behold, Jesus says, I am with you always. I'm with you in the office. I'm with you in the hospital. I'm with you in the ambulance. I'm with you at the cemetery. I'm with you in all things. These are truths we need to memorize, truths we need to focus on, to write all over our houses, to put into our apartments, to write on our minds, to write on a rock if needed. Many people ask why this rock is here, and they thought I was going to be throwing it at you. This is a rock Joseph gave to me when I was ordained back in 2012. I don't know who told him to do it or if he just did it himself. But as a scripture verse, it's Exodus 14:14. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. It's up on my shelf. I look at it every day. The Word of God, write it on a rock if you have to, right? A good exercise to do with the kids maybe this summer. Go find some rocks, some big rocks, and write some Bible verses on it. Because what? God is our rock. Our refuge, a present help in time of trouble. Truths we need to memorize, truths we need to put in our hearts and our minds to see, to remember, for we're like sheep. We forget. Psalm 62, 1-2 is one of my favorites. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be greatly shaken. Jesus says, seek the kingdom of heaven first. Get that love order prioritized where Jesus is first and everything else will fall in line. Philip Ryken reminds us, to the extent that you worry is the extent you're not trusting in God. To the extent that you worry is the extent you're not trusting in God. And so lastly, fear not, beloved. Treasure Christ and experience God's good pleasure for you. He says in verse 32, fear not, little flock. So it's like he's talking to little children. It's beautiful. Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the needy, provide yourselves with no new buddy bags that grow old, with a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Walter B. Knight, he writes, he says, one day John Wesley was walking with a troubled man who expressed his doubt to the goodness of God. He said, I do not know what I shall do with all this worry, with all this trouble that I have. At that same moment, Wesley saw a cow, and it was looking over a stone wall. Do you know, asked Wesley, why that cow is looking over the wall? No, said the man who was worried. Wesley said, the cow is looking over the wall because it cannot see through it. That's what you must do with your worry, with your trouble. You look over it and you look to Christ. Faith enables us to look above our trouble, above our circumstances, above our worry, and focus on Christ. And Jesus says, live in that freedom. He says, don't worry. Don't be a hoarder of good things. Give, share, help. Be like Jesus to the world. Invest in eternal realities. Invest in eternal rewards. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where rust and moth can't destroy. Live in that freedom without worry. Remember God's attitude towards you in Christ. Fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. To give you the kingdom. J.C. Rao writes, there's nothing is more common than an anxious and troubled spirit, and nothing so mars a believer's usefulness and diminishes his inward peace. But on the contrary, nothing glorifies God so much as a cheerful spirit in the midst of temporal troubles. What's a remedy for our anxiousness and our worry? The easiest and hardest thing to do. Trust in your God. Trust in Christ. We overcome worry and anxiousness by treasuring Christ, from going from worry to worship Christ who would go to the cross for our sins, to worship Christ for his sovereignty, to worship Christ for his goodness, to worship Christ who promises to work everything together for good for those who love him. He says, believe me. He says, trust me. Follow me. Remember the birds and the lilies. Christ loves you more than these. Remember that anxiousness cannot add a single thing to your life, but only robs you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and watch how he leads you. And he says, fear not. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you an eternal kingdom that'll last forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we wrestle with fear, we wrestle with worry so much, and you know that well. Why else would you say so many times in various ways of do not be afraid, do not fear? And so, Lord, give us a glimpse of the resurrected Christ, the glorified Christ who's sitting in the heavenlies even now, the Lamb who was slain, the Lamb who is risen, the Lamb who has conquered, the Lamb who would lay down his life for us, that those who would turn from their sins and trust in him would have forgiveness and everlasting life. So Lord, if you're willing to do this for us, help us to believe you through the darkest moments, through the scariest moments when things don't make sense. So we could go from worry to worship, knowing that you never let go of your people, that you love them immensely. Speak these truths to our hearts, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.